saying that it never happened. 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 I gotta stop these stinking Nazis. Hello, welcome to the Freeman Perspective. Well, have you ever felt like perhaps you were born into captivity? That the world around you has been constructed just to keep you in a quagmire of confusion and never having any sense of relief, place, or your whole just feeling good? Well, it's true. We have been born into captivity. We've been born into a system which we don't understand, that we're asked to continually play a part in, even though we disagree. And we have to, or else we starve, right? Well, how did we get here? How is it that we ended up in such a mess that pretty much at this point I don't see the way out? I'm having a feeling that we're going to have to wait for the great catastrophe to occur before anyone changes course, and we're going to just kind of keep going on as we're going on. And really, the whole crux behind this thing, the driving force, of course, is the magic spell, money. What is money? Where does it come from? Why do we have it? What's it used for? Well, people tell me, well, it's gold. It's gold. You know, we have to have some sort of form of currency, and well, gold's too heavy to carry around, so we get these paper bills. Well, what is gold? I mean, really, what do we do with gold? We go dig it out of the earth and put it in a vault? So we take it from one cave, put it into another cave? Is this, I don't see the purpose. I don't understand the point. These things like gold and diamonds and, well, all the precious metals and gems, they don't have any real value, except for what we give to them. Until you start to look into high technology. Now, if you're looking to be an intergalactic traveler, then absolutely gold and diamonds are a very crucial factor, very important thing. So here we find ourselves running. I mean, when I look at civilization, I see it as this. I see a man and a woman running on a treadmill to protect a baby, as others are trying to jump into this gilded cage that's riding upon a circus road railroad cart, being pulled off the edge of a cliff by a bunch of men in suits with blinders. That's what I see. I see this as just all of us running in place, being dragged off a cliff. You know, it's coming. This end is coming. This whole system that we have formed our foundation on is coming quickly to an end. And as we see it, it's a completely manufactured and contrived system. We're dealing with ideas of the Federal Reserve and the IRS, and these are just made up. They have no real foundation whatsoever, except for that we all agree that they exist. So we find ourselves now put in a position where now we've got some new presidential candidates coming our way, and we're all excited because things might change. Well, I thought I might take this time to talk to you a little bit about how I see things. Well, as if that's not what I do. Because for me, it's such a different picture. For me, back in the era of Clinton, back in the late 90s, as I'm watching these antics, as I'm watching what I call apathy dipsticks, such things as the Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, there was even the Heaven's Gate cult, and you know, and it was as if the government was trying to see whether or not they could murder a bunch of people, tell you they were a cult, and get away with it. And I was certainly astounded with Waco when they made the made-for-TV movie, The Truth About Waco. And in the credits is Janet Reno in the State Department. I mean, the very murderers that killed all these people. And yeah, I call them murderers. I watched as they murdered those people. And I was disgusted. And I was flabbergasted that there wasn't more results from the American public. And as I say, these apathy dipsticks. And so as we went down the line, each year in October, they kept coming forth this Homeland Security Act, what we now know as the Patriot Act. This was all during the Clinton era. In the late 90s, we've got this bill coming up in October, and it comes up every October. Every October, everybody goes, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. There's no way I'm voting for such a thing. That is the most unconstitutional and just un-American thing I could possibly think of, this Homeland Security, unifying all of the Secret Services with the intelligence agencies and everybody having one collective database to able to manipulate, monitor, and control all of us. No way. No one would vote for it. So each year as this came about, I was watching also what they were doing to Bill Clinton. Now, when they brought Bill Clinton up on this Homeland, or on his Monica Lewinsky scandal, of course, we all knew this was a contrived scandal. We all knew that they were trying to put their smoke and mirrors in front of us to keep us looking at other things. Well, what maybe we didn't consider was that this was psychological warfare. That the very fact of bringing this man, the president, up in front of us and having him turn purple while they discussed insertions of cigars in secretaries and whatnot, and after Clinton's numerous bathroom breaks and his just being crushed right there in front of all of us. This is psychological warfare. This is what warriors do, what warlords do. Before they can destroy a nation, first they must destroy your heart. First they must destroy you. And so having our president being just ridiculed in front of the American public over such things, and knowing full well that JFK had affairs, or many of the other presidents had affairs, hell, Giuliani's dressing up as a woman, you know, this was not something that was necessary. This was not something that we should be bringing about in an impeachable offense and having all of it, you know, showed in such a dramatic fashion. But there was a point to it, and there was a purpose to it, and the purpose was psychological warfare, to destroy our ideal of the man, the president. So, taking this into mind, I decided, well, okay, what's the next step? What's the next logical step? And I said, well, they need to railroad a president into office. Because then we start to lose faith in the system itself, right? Now we've discredited the man, let's discredit the system. And lo and behold, I hear of this W coming to power. And at that time, I was really getting deeper and deeper into corporate logos and starting to understand how those all fit together, how it was that all the Freemasons were founders of these corporations like McDonald's, RCA, Target, Walmart, and how each of their logos had a place within the Masonic ritual. Each one signified a perspective within the ritual. And so as I went through all of the corporate logos, we had Texaco's pentagram and Shell's shell, and these were symbols of Venus, and I saw the Target symbol as a sun sign, and the canted square as a symbol representing the circumambulation around the altar of the Masons. Each and every one of them fit into this Masonic score. So when I got to Phillips 66, I thought, well, okay, that shouldn't be too difficult to discern. Let's break out the Magician's Dictionary and have a look. 66 just happens to be the number of the great work. Yes, in which you can see displayed proudly behind me. The great work, yes. I find it not so great. It was also the number of the fallen angels, or the quillopathic powers, which are equated to excrement. So I can't help but chuckle that W means excrement. And and I take it one step further as a God joke and find that there was a Bush, a Dick, and a Colon running the country, and they were all phallus worshippers, and well, you know, I don't know. So when I saw the W and I recognized that 66 equated to W in Kabbalistic gematria, which Freemasonry is based on Kabbalism and therefore Hebrew. And within Hebrew, you have the letter 6 equaling V. So 6, 6, V, V. And then I happened to notice, well, wait a minute, the VW logo isn't three V's, it's two V's interlaced. So that's showing me once again this number of the Quillipoth, or the excrement, the 66, the Antichrist, the W. Even when you cross those two V's, making three V's, of course, being 666 in Hebrew gematria. So Hitler put the 666 on his war machine, the Volkswagen. Now you say, well, you know, Hitler didn't build the Volkswagen. Well, obviously not, but the symbolism was clear. And these are all a large esoteric order that rules nations. And, you know, once you start to dig into that, that's when you start to get a little more into what I talk about. And so now, as I saw that the excrement, the W, was getting ready to be announced as a running candidate, I said, well, he'll be the one. This will be the guy they railroad into office. And so when they did, and they railroaded him through Jeb Bush in Florida, I used to say, no, you guys are missing the point. This is psychological warfare. This is the continuation of what they did to Clinton. So the fact that they're showing you that Jeb Bush forced W into office is supposed to make you mad. This is the whole point of the thing. And so it wasn't Jeb Bush that railroaded the W into office. It's these secret society Kabbalistic orders that are doing such things. Well, once they had railroaded the W into office, I knew this would be the year. And as I was watching throughout the Clinton era for this October date for the Homeland Security Act. And when they railroaded W into office, I said, this is the year. This is the year they'll do it. I analyzed the situation and I considered that, well, they're going to need about 2 weeks of a public reaction time for a major event to cause them to change their minds and actually vote for this Homeland Security Act. And so, as I looked at the dates, 9/9/15, somewhere in the middle of the month of November or September, they're going to need a major terrorist attack. So knowing that these guys are ceremonial magicians and that they are stuck to these ritual dates, I'd pick 9/11, just clearly on the fact that George H.W. Bush had announced the New World Order publicly for the first time on 9/11/1990. And lo and behold, I have a whole line of people at my door on 9/11 going, how did you know? Well, yeah, it's simple, you know. Once you realize who these people are, then it's quite obvious what they're willing to do. And if you're watching what they're trying to fulfill, then you know what steps that they need to take to fulfill it. So now everybody's like, well, Freeman, you know, give us another one. Come on, what's next? I'm like, God, this is so inconsequential. You don't need a next. You should just now know that you are being lied to and that this is a whole contrivance. And the whole point of me talking to you about this brotherhood is not so that we can go out and hang them in the streets. That is not my goal whatsoever. My goal is not to point out to you the bad guy. And as I talk to you about all of these things, I do not want you to think that the Masons are all bad guys. This is not a case of bad guy versus good guy. This is a case of systems being used against you. So, as we start to uncover this thing and understand that it is this particular group in charge of America, that it's this one faction of people that have kept the system going, then we start to question what it is that they're truly after. Now, if we take this a step further and you do want to start to plot and decide what they might do next, then let's look at what they want. I'll give you a little challenge, and you could even maybe do it now, hit pause on the video, or wait till after the show, or do it while you're multitasking with me. But go over and check your web. Go to your web search engine, whichever one you choose, and type in Freemasonry. Chip, just CHIP, Freemasonry Chip, and hit that enter button. And what you're going to see here is a whole list of Freemasonic lodges. And these aren't encoded in any way, they're straightforward Freemason lodges around the nation who are promoting the CHIP program. Very curious. Now, most of us don't want to agree to a CHIP program. Most of us don't want to be embedded in a CHIP program, and as Fox News told us, they can change and erase the information inside that chip. Who wants that? Yeah. So now we're facing, as they start to move this idea forward, and as of May this year, they need to institute this Real ID Act. Now, they're not going to force it on us just yet because, well, of course, everybody's against it, just as they were all against the Homeland Security Act back before 9-1-1. So what do you do to propose and get, bring this to the forefront? Now, they're going to require by May that all of the driver's licenses be in compliance with the Real ID standards, but they're not going to unify the system just yet. And what we're also finding is that this brotherhood has a timeline. And this timeline is critical in the esoteric type of situations and in understanding what's coming and what's to come. So to bring forth a chip to get the public to accept this, they need another major event, right? Another excuse. And what I see is that, well, you know, to look at it just plain, bluntly, is a plague would be the best possible solution for them to pass this type of thing. Well, it's occurring already in the UK. They have what they're calling the norovirus, and reports are saying that thousands are dropping dead and that they're having a media blackout on this whole thing, but that they have mass graves of people dying off from virus. If we've watched this situation long enough, we've seen that pretty much everything gets instituted first in the UK and then over here. You know, they had the cameras full on watching them with an open full monitoring system before we really accepted ours. We had plenty of cameras, but not the full board system in place. So, would they do that? You think they care? They care not a bit. They care not a bit for your lives. What they care about is this system. What they care about is putting forth their agenda. And their agenda is not laid within these simple foundations that we believe in, like money or politics or education. These are all just smoke and mirrors to keep us all preoccupied. You think Ron Paul's not a ruse? Controlled opposition, I say. He's there just to make you mad. Especially, you know, he keeps you all occupied going, well, they're not talking about Ron Paul. Well, of course not. You know, they want you all mad about that. And all of these systems that have been put in place are there just as smoke and mirrors to keep you lost in this quagmire, never focusing on what was truly important, which is life, the tribe, the family. This is what is truly important, the feeding of one another, and the loving, the caring, the nurturing. But we're all lost in this money spell. And so instead of thinking, well, how can we make the world a better place? We think, well, how can I get enough money to make the world a better place? And so we stay within the system. And this whole good guy, bad guy scenario, the one thing that doesn't change is the system that they're within. You know, he's still going out and robbing the bank for gold. Don't understand. So as we are being just guided forward through this system using money as the carrot in front of us to tell us, well, just keep chasing it a little bit longer and you'll make it, you know, eventually you'll have this money and you can make a difference. Meanwhile, they're building deep underground military bases and seed vaults in Norway, and governments are preparing for some major catastrophes. People are reporting UFOs over Lake Travis and Stephenville. The world's not as sane as all of that. There's way more going on than this simple political economic system. And they know this. And this is the thing, is that these secret societies have passed down this knowledge at least in part. I'll say that, you know, they did hire Manly P. Hall to try to understand what the heck was going on with all of this, because they weren't too sure themselves anymore, and this is the Freemasons I'm discussing. They didn't really know what all of this was about, why they had put pentagrams in the street plans of D.C., and what the whole owl and pyramid in the street plans meant, and all this, that, and the other. They're like, well, you know. But it's been this ancient knowledge passed down through the ages, and as many revisionists have been starting to understand that history goes back much further than we accept it. Now, that whole concept of history not going back any further than, say, 5000 BC is a contrivance that has come about by a Freemason. It was Colonel Howard Vice, the Freemason, who went in and had his assistant go break down the wall in the King's Chamber and paint Khufu's name in there to give it the date of 3500 BC. Now, in college, they'll teach you that this was a fraud, but the History Channel, they'll tell you it's truth. So, you know, very curious. So now we are trapped in this spell of money, and we all need it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I just came back from the Mayans, and they're telling me, well, yeah, we need some money. Can you help try? And they want to buy back some of their native lands and try and get back some of their sacred sites. Certainly, I can't live without money. I've spent more money this week than I did the whole trip I was gone. Just on nothing, too, on nothing. God, if I didn't have to pay rent, you know, I could have at least something every month, but no, you know, we don't get that. And it's not going to get any better, this stimulus act that they're telling us about, you know, oh, well, we'll give you $300, $600 back from the IRS. It'll be cool. Yeah, right. I mean, what's that, $600? I mean, that's nothing. That's no help at all. So, well, and just to add to that, I am a domestic product. So if you want to spend your money domestically, yeah. So what are we to do? We're definitely not going to escape this system. There's no way that we're going to break free from the money spell, because everybody's in on it, and everybody's trying to get up on it, and everybody wants a piece of the pie. And I really have been watching the American public, and I see that we like to wait until things are really so bad before we react. And that way we can react in anger, and it's much easier. And this is exactly what they want from you. Don't act now. No, no, everything's fine right now. You know, it might get better. You got Ron Paul hanging in the wings. So go ahead, just plod on, You know, things just might get better. And it's some weird delusion, because, I mean, you know, it's not gotten any better ever. It just keeps getting worse. Everything gets more expensive, and pretty soon we'll have a $6 soda, and then what will we do? So, we're conditioned now to wait, and to boil, and to be angry. And then we get the programming, like V for Vendetta, tell you, well, go and blow up a building, that'll help things. I can't help but laugh at this stuff, you know, because really, none of this is gonna help whatsoever. They have always trained us in the conditioning and the idea that we must fight for peace. You know, look at the American Revolution. We fought for peace, slaughtered a bunch of natives, and killed a bunch of people. And guess what? It was Masons on both sides, and they weren't hurting one another. They got stories in their Bible going, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. If you're a Mason, the British Masons don't kill you. It's all good. Just go, oh, Lord, my God, will no one help this widow's son? And you're all in the clear. You can try that in a courtroom, you know. So, it's a contrivance, okay? So, I'll tell you what. Let's do a little quiz. I want to do a little quiz. You guys want to put the phone number up on the screen? You guys want to have a little fun? All right, let's take a little quiz. Well, my friends, you know, you guys should be exempt from this quiz unless you weren't listening. But what I want from you right now is to tell me who designed the American flag. I got a couple other quiz questions for you as well. But right now, we'll stick with who designed the American flag. Now, as I tell you, these guys are magicians. I tell you that what they need from us is our free will agreement. That phone's not lighting up. Don't you know your American history? They need our free will commitment to this thing. And this is why they would do major events like 9-1-1 and have us give our free will agreement. Say, oh yeah, sure, bring on Homeland Security, no problem. And at the same time, the spell they folded inside of the money, the very fact that you can take the 5 to the 100 and see the 9-1-1 scenario from beginning to end is another spell that has forced us into agreement even though we didn't see it consciously. All right, so do you know who designed the American flag?
Yeah, was it Calvin Klein's great-great-grandfather?
Well, you know, curiously enough, his name was never recorded. He was only known by his pseudonym.
The Professor.
You are absolutely correct. Give that man $100.
Woo! All right!
But you won't get it from this show. This show is a no-budget show.
Okay, we missed you at the metaphysical group meeting last night, Freeman.
I know. You know, you people got to call me and say, Freeman, it's Wednesday. Because I don't function in this reality, you know? So I was really hoping somebody was going to say, hey, Freeman, it's Wednesday. And the third Wednesday already? How could that be? I haven't paid rent yet.
I told you, man. I called you right before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I called you, like, I think on Tuesday or something.
Hey, wait, you won the Masonic ring from this question. You should be exempt. All right. Well, Shaq, thank you, man. All right, hello.
Hey, and the professor being, of course, suspected to be the good man Lorenzo Ricci himself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know the story of Lorenzo Ricci?
No.
That goes back, actually, this whole thing goes back to a book that I read that takes you back to about the 14th century, and it was called The Society of Jesus, Who Became the Jesuits.
Yes.
And through time, this guy Lorenzo Ricci was one of the black popes. And you know about the black popes and all that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So Lorenzo Ricci, he gets himself in trouble in Europe, and there is a death that takes place. And the Illuminati and all these guys, they do these deaths and have burials, and they're big state events. And yet what these people do is they disappear. Well, Lorenzo Ricci disappeared to America, and he's the guy who is suspected to be the so-called professor who was also present when the Declaration of Independence was being written up and all these things were taking place.
Right.
And he was in the back of the room while this was going on, overseeing everything that was going on, and it said that even out of all the people who were involved in this then, there was only probably a couple of people. George Washington, our forefather, being one of them, to have the knowledge of who he was.
Right.
Goes on and on and on and on. There's a book out called Rulers of Evil, greatest book I've ever read, that ties all this stuff that goes back to about the actual beginning to the 12th century.
Right.
And it brings it all forward, and it just brings you right back how the Revolutionary War was manipulated by what's called the Freemasons. The Civil War was manipulated just on and on and on and on and on. And people, you've got to wake up, get away from these TV shows that aren't being, they're all reruns right now. So take the time to go read a book and learn something.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate your show, and I think you're doing a hell of a job.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a great call. You see? It's all out there. You know, none of this is wild conspiracy theory. None of this is anything that's, like, way outside the box. The idea that these Freemasons have been controlling our reality for so long has been out in front of us, and even now we have House Resolution 33, which admits it all and says, yeah, you know, look what the wonderful Freemasons have done for us. And the problem, the issue here is the fact that we don't know what their belief systems are. And here they keep running into the presidency. We've had over half of our presidents belong to this singular fraternity, and yet we don't know what they think. We don't know what they believe. Shit, half of them don't know what they believe. Hello.
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 How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Right. What's your show about?
Well, do you know where the name America comes from?
I believe so.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me?
The word America comes from the United States of America.
Well, why did they call it that?
Oh, you told me.
Okay.
Enlighten me.
All right. The concept of America has come to us in a strangest thing. Now, just recently at the Library of Congress, they've released this map. It came from France. I had some notes on it, but I don't think I have them here in front of me. The Library of Congress just displayed a map, an ancient map, 500 years old, which has America on it. And supposedly, America wasn't found just yet. You know, obviously, Columbus hadn't come across. Why did they name it America? Here it is on the map saying America. And most will believe and say that America is named after Amerigo Vespucci. Now, this is due to some monk that said, well, they must have named it after Amerigo. Actually, he didn't even say that. He questioned it. It's interesting that they would name it after Amerigo, and why did they call it America instead of Amerigo? And so in this questioning, people went, oh, okay, there's our solution. There's our answer. That's easy. It's pat. It's no problem. And this also then conceals the true roots of the word America. Now, what it was is that the Templars were looking for a star. The Templars had connected with the Mandeans, who were connected with the Essenes. And this knowledge came down of a star that they were to follow to their promised land, their New Atlantis. And this star they called Murica. And so it was when the Templars followed Murica over to this land that this land became known as America. Has nothing to do with Amerigo Vespucci, but the Templars in every way and facet. Hello.
Hey, man, where were you yesterday? At the meeting.
It was yesterday. I don't know. Come on, move into the here and now. In the here and now, we're looking at a picture that is dire. We're in a position now where we're being so set up, and we're all just going along with it. And the true reason is that we don't know what else to do. It's like, well, if I stop, I starve. I got to keep running. I got to keep going. If I stop, I starve. I won't have a roof over my head. And this is pretty much the truth. Not completely the truth, however, because there is this new realm that those of us in the poor tribe are starting to learn. And that is, well, one, we're a tribe. We have found security in this tribe. We find security, happiness, and hope just in the simple acts of feeding one another and taking care of one another. The family unit, same thing. We find just this happiness. And if there isn't happiness within the family union, it's usually money. That's the problem. This money, of course, is a contrivance. It's thrown at us. It's a spell. It's nothing real, and yet it totally dominates our existence. So it's true that if one of us, one or two of us, starts to break away, which many of us have, I'm one of those, many of us have wandered away from this system and said, okay, this just isn't working for me, and I'm not willing to do the evil deeds that's required in order to make myself rich. You know, I'm not going to sell babies. I'm not going to blow up people. I'm not going to shoot things. And we try and maybe find and fabricate our way into a system that might get us paid in a way that we find moral, just. But at the same time, we watch how this system just is eating up the planet, eating up everybody's livelihoods, eating up everybody's life. And so even on this deepest level, we can't participate. Not if we have a conscience. Not if we know what this is all about. And so we find ourselves going, well, what do we do? And truthfully, it's been said over and over on this show a few times, and there's been others that have stated that the real way, the real path that's within us and not without, and that we actually have the natural way of existing, and that all of this has been placed upon that and is being used to manipulate that system so that we are now all scattered and isolated trying to find our way in this evil system, and we cannot unify because we don't have a solution. And the solution is not so practical. And the solution is not outlined in some sort of resolution or legislation or anywhere except for within all of us. And so, yeah, some of us are starting to break away, but the more and more of us that start to break away, and truthfully, the only reason I bring up these secret societies and their manipulation of reality and the manufacturing of our very lives is so that you can have an excuse to wander away from it all, to have an excuse to go away. And then what I hope to instill in you is a foundation of the synchronistic, coincidental, miraculous life that is waiting for all of us to bring it about into fruition. It's there. It just needs to live, and we all need to live within it. And so as I destroy this world, or at least that's my hope, is to just cast it away and then rebuild in this new foundation, which is the true synchronistic path that we all contain within us. Let's go ahead and check some of these calls. Howdy, how are you doing?
Hey, what plague were you talking about? What is the actual plague over in the UK and all that you were talking about?
The news report said it was the norovirus, N-O-R-O virus.
What does it actually do?
Huh?
What does it actually do to like your body and all that?
There's a total blackout on it. That's as much as I got out of the whole thing, except for that there were people dropping dead a lot, and that they... some were saying it might be the H5N1 avian flu. So there were still questions as to where and what was going on with all that. And they were curious as to how it would spread after the holiday seasons.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's crazy over in the UK. The Muslims have actually taken hold over in London and Europe and all that area, and have really caused a lot of problems over there for Christians and anybody that's not of a Muslim faith. They're making it, I mean, they've made it to where Christians can't go to churches anymore, that they're scared for their lives to even go to a church or even say that they're a Christian.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the Muslim Islamic faith is actually... getting very strong there, to where they're trying to make it just like in Iran or Iraq, that the Islam faith is the actual law there, and they're doing it, but you never hear about it on the news. I know people personally that have gone over there, and people that live in London, and they say flat out, this is going on. And if us as free people in a free country...
Wait, what country do you live in?
No, for us.
Oh, us?
For us.
You're calling us free?
The people that live in quote-unquote, a free country and are
where?
Free people, quote-unquote,
okay.
According to what our Constitution says
we
got are.
Those quotes in there, because I...
Yeah.
I'm not
nowadays
free.
Nowadays it's not, but, I mean, according to our Constitution, we're free people and all.
You mean
but,
those Masonic documents
if we try to lay our foundations on? If we think as people that that's not going to come to this country, then we're idiots, man. We're... sitting there looking at it saying, no, look at them, oh, the poor people. It's like, man, this is going to happen right to us also. It's spreading worldwide. It's not going to stay in one little town over in some Egypt and just sit there and smolder. No, it's like a wildfire in California.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Oh, religion. All these isms and ologies, they're you know, that's another difficult one. Because now these are all obviously generational mind programming. I mean, there's no, you ask a Christian or a Muslim why they believe what they believe, and it's because their parents told them to believe it, right? And then this is all based back down the line, and then we've got all of our faith based in these books. Difficult thing. I mean, I hear all these terms, left, right, liberal, fascist, progressive, whatever. I don't know what any of those mean. I'm still trying to figure out what, you know, 401k is. But these ideas, these concepts, these isms, these ideologies that we all cling to have been handed to you to keep the strife going. And so I know that this is difficult for religious people to understand. And honestly, I see more brainwashing going on in religion than anywhere else. And so on that same note, I try to offer even in any different type of creed. And from the Christian perspective, we've got the idea that Jesus said that you could perform miracles, that you could walk on water, that if you need the money for the tax man, go fishing. You know, these ideas are the ones that I'm trying to promote. The very simple, do unto others as they would have do unto you. And that one rule should just take care of everything. But of course, it's not that simple, is it? Because we have all these belief systems that are brought into this whole thing, and it's not one simple belief system. And now we believe that we have us and them, and we're talking about America versus England. They're no different, you know? We got the reptiles over there and the fish people over here, or if you want to look at it as the Freemasons are in charge there, the Freemasons are in charge here, or if you want to look at it that W's the son of the CIA and Blair's MI6 and Putin's KGB, I mean, there is no nations anymore. That's all just contrivance for you to keep yourself isolated and occupied with this. There's no such thing. And so we have to start to break away from this. And we can't wait until the critical factor. We can't wait until they drop the bomb. Because that's what they want from you. That's exactly what they want, is for you to wait and then react. And instead, we can just use our own intention and start to manufacture a new paradigm, one that we don't even fully understand, one that's not going to be outlined and databased in legislation, one that's not covered by Congress or these Masonic documents that we so hold so in reverence. It will be based on simple, pure love. And there is enough of us out here that agree to all of this, that once we get these monsters out of the picture, and I don't mean to go and slaughter them, I mean start to ignore them, start to forget this, stop paying your landlord, stop doing all of the things that involve finances, stop investing, stop all of this madness, and just start to live, plain and simply. Now, this isn't going to do away with progress. This won't, because the human has to create. It has no choice in this manner. We create. We love to create. We love to nurture. We love to take care of things, and we love to do things in this manner. So, there is more going on. And as I'm saying that, as they're watching this major solar eruptions going on, which are about to hit their maximum again, and as we start to move into the possibility of Planet X arriving in the next year, and you know whether or not we believe this, what we do see is them readying for some major catastrophe. And so all of this stuff is going to be completely meaningless as soon as the Earth turns on its crust and you're sitting in the South Pole. You know, mammoths have been flash frozen with food in their mouths. This is not something that has not occurred before. This has gone on before. It happens. And as we watch, they're all readying for such an event while we're all just busy blabbing away about who's more sinister. Is it Hillary or Barack or, you know? I'm like, wait a minute, are you asking me if it's the witch, the Mormon, or the Dick Cheney's cousin, you know? Come on. These people are not real, and Ron Paul is controlled opposition. This whole system, the idea that 911 made you angry, it was supposed to, you know, the they knew that there would be a certain faction of people that would just never agree that our government was capable of doing such a thing. And then there would be those of us that are like, isn't it blatantly obvious? I mean, come on, free fall speed, little, you know, explosions coming out of the building. Isn't this quite obvious? And so they knew this schism would be created out of this event. They understand how we work. And so now we're fighting each other again instead of fighting really, we don't want to fight the New World Order. None of us really wants to fight, do we? I don't think any of us truly wants to go out and be in that mess. And if you do, then you've simply been watching too much television. And maybe once you get in a real firefight, you'll change your mind. Because once you're out there, it's horrible. I've got friends in the military. I know what they're going through, and it's awful. I tried another call. You guys have been hanging on there for a little while. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
You got a fantastic show, man. I watch you every time you're on. And I think this thing in England with that new plague they've got, that's probably something that's being tested because England is a very controlled society.
Yeah.
They're probably testing it there, and they'll probably use it here.
There's no doubts. I mean, in my opinion, just no doubts on this whole thing. That's the perfect ploy for them. We've watched as they lost a bunch of flu viruses around the nation. You know, we've been watching as they've been setting us up. We see all the billboards and everywhere saying, get vaccinated, the flu scare. I mean, it's always the psychological warfare first, right?
And when you get some idiot like we got here, Bloodbath Bush and the White House here, you know, anything can happen at any time.
That's right.
He doesn't even have to know about it. He probably doesn't know about most of it.
No, that man barely has wits.
You can tell by listening to him talk, he's got about a 30 to 40 IQ. The man's he probably can't even read or write.
I would agree with that. I would love to see his handwriting.
I would. They said a few days ago he sent somebody a letter, and I thought, well, when did that dirty rascal learn how to, if he can't read or talk, how can he write, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you got a great show going, man.
Well, thank you very much.
Keep it up, and I watch you all the time. I'm a 68-year-old retired man. Hey, listen, I'll tell you one more little tidbit before
Absolutely.
I go. About 2 years after Bloodbath Bush got in there, I retired. Since I retired, that's been about 5.5-6 years ago. Since I retired, my retirement income has increased 10%. Can you imagine? But the dollar has fell 50%, and the cost of living has went up 30 or 40%. I'm minus 80.
Right.
What are we going to do here?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with that big 10% raise, man?
No. And we're not getting out of that.
And you know, I'm in a lot better shape than there's some people. Hey, we're going to be going hungry here for long.
Exactly.
We're going to be out in the streets because they've got the working people in this country competing with 30 cents an hour Chinese, 30 cents an hour India, and $4 a day Mexican. We're going to be out in the street, man. It's coming.
Yeah.
We're headed for the cellar. For some reason, the plan's out to reduce this country to third world, and it's well underway.
Thank you. There's absolutely just no doubts in this picture. And so if you're laying your whole heart into the foundation of that you're going to have money in the future, I mean, maybe you can make a little bit this year, but then, you know, get ready. because the whole system's about to crash and burn. The Amero is already in mint. It's already been printed. You can go Google it and see it. You know, and the Amero is out. The dollar is going. It's gone. I mean, the Canadian money's worth more than the dollar. All right, one last call here. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. You sound a little down.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask you about that disease in the United Kingdom, the UK.
All right. I'm going to answer you off the air there. Okay, let's cut the number there. No more time for calls. Sorry, guys. Yeah, aren't I a bundle of joy? Like, yay, Freeman's on. He's talking about death and destruction. Yeah. I mean, to me, this just seems the most obvious ploy. Now, many of you have been feeling the symptoms of these chemtrails. You may call it allergies, but I'll tell you, the moment I got back into America, now, there are no chemtrails in Mexico or Central America. None. I got plenty of pictures, and there's no chemtrails. Not even any jets, actually. I saw no aviation at all. But as soon as I got back here, I mean, those trails were so heavy. They were so thick. And immediately I started to get that blissful lethargy again. I talked about this on the show back last month. And this idea that they might be dispensing like Prozac or something to that effect in these chemtrails as an aerosol really seems viable to me because of the feeling, because of the symptoms that I get. Now, all of a sudden, I'm just blissfully lethargic, lying around the house. I hadn't even smoked anything, and I'm just feeling all, oh, yeah. And I know that it's these trails. And then the very next day, what we'll have is sinus pressure, sinus headaches, and just pain in the achy joints and the achy lower back. And just this feeling of, I don't want to do anything. And this is, you know, this is a campaign. We are being dusted. We are being gassed every single day with these things. And whether or not they're there just to manipulate the weather or alter radio frequency waves for HARP technology, or if they are also there to cause these type of symptoms in us. Definitely the ingredients in chemtrails. Now, if you haven't seen them, now this is the part that's generally most astounding to me, is the fact that people don't see them. You know, I've been talking about chemtrails for 10 years, almost 12 years, and I still meet people every day that go, oh, what do you mean? I've not seen these. And then, of course, you just walk outside and, you know, well, you see that big X over our head? Oh, I've never seen that before. Talking about these things for a decade. Come on, catch up. You know, and the ingredients in these things, like the barium and the aluminum. Now, barium makes you show up on radar. Aluminum makes you an antenna for these electromagnetic frequency waves. They are absolutely controlling our very vibration, our very emotional state. And they are doping us up and then accelerating, causing anxieties. And these very symptoms of the flu-like symptoms are due to this heavy metal poisoning. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not saying that I know exactly, but I looked into barium poisoning and found that the symptoms I suffered and almost went, you know, almost died, or at least I thought I was dying from, were identical to barium poisoning from the anxiety, the fluctuation of the heart. Much of it felt very much like a heart attack. The numbness in the arm, and then the flu-like symptoms, the achy joints and pains. All of this stuff is coming from those trails. And this I have just databased over a course of a long time. And so for me, it's just, it's once again, just like predicting W, predicting 911, this is a no-brainer. This is chemical warfare being used against us. So it's entirely possible, because, you know, these guys aren't stupid, that they could bring about flu-like symptoms without even actually having a virus. Because back in the late 90s, when the chemtrails began, and the stuff was actually falling into people's yards, they would find this spidery web-type substance in their front yard, and when they touched it, they got flu-like symptoms. Next thing you knew, the news was saying, well, we're having a flu-like symptom epidemic. No virus, but everybody's got flu-like symptoms. Now, go look at barium symptoms and see if they're not flu-like symptoms. So it's entirely possible that they don't really want to release a virus, you know? They don't want to kill themselves. And so it might all be just a big smoke and mirrors act. Yeah, thousands of people died in 911. And that's an atrocity and a horrible thing. For them, it was a stage performance. For them, it was a simple act. So for for them to do this to us is nothing. And if a few thousand people drop dead and it scares us all into getting the chip, then they're all like gung-ho. The true purpose of them wanting us all chipped and the true purpose of their agenda is yet to be discovered. There are many clues, many of them we've been discussing over the years on this show. For me, it goes extraterrestrial. And that's when it always, like, people go, whoa, wait, can't listen to Freeman anymore. He's got a lot of great stuff, but then he goes into this magic and these ETs. But for me, that's where the story just initially lies, and we'll definitely get more to that. So what we're looking at now is that we have this damn spell that's been cast upon us by these magicians. They manufacture our very realities, including our language, our nationality, our government style, and then they use all of these globally to pit and control mechanisms that cause the center. So the Hegelian dialectic, the cause of the problem, offer the solution, the Twin Towers, you know. These are their ways. And so what we're looking at is not a system that's, oh, it's America versus Iraq. No, I mean, the shock and awe is a Hebrew word that is in conjunction with the Freemasons. A Freemason would ask himself, what is the shock and awe? And it's the Shekhinah, you know, as you would say in Hebrew. I hope I get that somewhat close. These are all contrived ceremony magic. Magical ceremonies. They have nothing to do with politics. Saddam Hussein, claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated, has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So start to return and turn this picture around, recognize who our leaders are and that they have a false agenda, that their agenda has nothing to do with the well-being of you, and hopefully we can start to quit and stop serving this system. And hopefully we will start to redirect our intentions towards a new paradigm. And instead of directing our attention into saying, well, I'm going to make a bunch of money, we can direct our intention to say, I'm going to make the world a better place. I'm going to focus on family. I'm going to focus on tribe. And to my tribe there at the house, I just want to say to you, my Ganoa. And you guys have a great night. See you next week.
Your control and death.